WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Okay, now you see this gentleman? Now he's giving me this this sign, and it says, we're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Live on tape from Hollywood, the Larry Sanders Show. Tonight, join Larry and his guests, Emma Thompson, Frank Langella, comedian Hugh Fink, and me, hey now, Hank Kingsley. And now, because the governor called, Larry Sanders!
My guest Jeffrey Tambor plays Hank Kingsley, the announcer and sidekick on The Larry Sanders Show, Gary Shandling's always funny spoof of late-night variety shows and the world of celebrity ego. HBO has a Larry-thon planned for the week of June 2nd, featuring all the episodes from this past season. Meanwhile, this Sunday, you can see Jeffrey Tambor in a new HBO movie called Weapons of Mass Distraction, satirizing the power games of media and sports tycoons. Tambor plays Alan Blanchard, the right-hand man of media mogul Lionel Powers, played by Gabriel Byrne. Powers and his rival tycoon, played by Ben Kingsley, are both trying to buy the same football franchise, believing that whoever controls sports controls it all. Here's Jeffrey Tambor in a scene where, over a nice dinner, he tries blackmailing the owner of the football team, Billy Paxton, played by R. Lee Ermey.
Just a few of the medical bills in connection with a small secret surgical procedure your niece, Pippa, required a month after the intimate high school graduation party the two of you shared.
Kind of hitting a little bit below the belt here, aren't we, Alan?
That's where most of the really good stuff happens, Billy.
Where'd you get all this stuff?
I can't reveal my sources. Journalistic integrity and all that.
Lionel Powers wouldn't know integrity if it jumped off the toilet seat and reamed out his insides.
I will certainly pass that appreciation on to him.
You are a snide. You know that, friend?
Let's not shoot the messenger, Billy. No pun intended.
And what is Mr. Integrity going to do if he knocks Julian out of the box and sales decides to block the deal so that neither can buy the Titans? Is that really what Lionel wants out of all this? Playing dog in the manger.
Top dog in the manger, Billy. Always top dog.
So how does the character in Weapons of Mass Distraction compare to Hank Kingsley?
Well, put an apple in your hand, then put an orange in your hand, and you have the contrast. I mean, they're just two different people. Alan is pretty much buttoned down, much more of a quote killer, unquote. He's sort of, I would say, more straightened than Hank, who's pretty much all over the emotional map.
Now, how did you get the part of Hank Kingsley on The Gary Shandling Show?
I paid Gary.
How much?
An enormous amount of
money.
What
did it cost you?
No, I mean, did they
call you up, or was it a
No. It's a very interesting story. Don't you like when people are being interviewed and they say, you know, this is a very interesting story, and then they proceed with a very dull story?
Right, yeah.
But this is, no, I was up for a pilot at a network, and it didn't work out. I was neither enthused. The network was not enthused. No one was really enthused about it. I wasn't really right for the character. But the producer, writer-producer of that show, that evening apparently called Gary, who was a friend of Gary's, and said, have I got the guy for you, or words to that effect. And the very next day, a script came, and I went in the very next day after that and read for Gary, and we read together, and we had a great, great, great time of it. And then I got the role. So I auditioned, and it was the very first script was called Hey Now, the Hey Now script. And I knew that role was a good one for me, and I could contribute to the show. And I'm a huge was, and am a huge fan of Gary's, and I of the Gary Shandling show. And the audition went very well, and I actually called him at 5 o'clock that day, later that day, to say I really love that role and I really want to play it, which I've never done. And I said, you know, I've never done this. I've never called somebody and said, I want this role. And he said, no, but Hank Kingsley would. So it was sort of my introduction to it. And I'm very happy. We're going into our sixth season, starting, you know, in the, I guess, winter. And I'm very happy with it.
When you started performing on the Larry Sanders Show, did you start watching late night television more?
No,
start watching it differently than you used to?
I did one thing, and it, you know, an actor researches, and I just wanted to find out. I mean, I know what I knew what he did on the air, but I went to watch Mr. McMahon, Ed McMahon, and I sat up in the bleachers there at NBC, and I watched Ed listen or respond to Johnny Carson's monologue. And the first surprising thing is that he was no more than 12, 15 feet away. And he was right there, you know, with him, really responding, really laughing at him, really egging him on and really being supportive. And I remember saying, well, that's the character. I mean, that is his job. And I later corroborated that with Ed, and it was very helpful. Now, that's the only thing, but I didn't ape him or do anything like that. I tried to find his own way, and I'm still finding. The wonderful thing about doing the show is that each week the writers, who are really the unsung heroes, well, they're not unsung. I mean, they're awarded up and down the line, but the real heroes are those guys who write and continually kick out the characters week after week and add dimensions to them. That's what's so very interesting. Normally when you do a network show, not to be pejorative about network TV, but usually you play the same function week after week after week. Here, there's a difference where you get to add a different trait. I mean, one week he's foolish, the next week he is wise, one week he's having marital problems, the next week he's involved in sex tapes. I mean, it's just the other week he rediscovers his Jewish roots. They've been quite demanding of the character, and the character changes from week to week, and I like that.
Did you always want to be a character actor?
Yes. I did. I was in school. I always looked a little older than they were better roles. They were just better roles. I just sort of always decided to do that. I mean, I even in Summer Stock, when I was 16 years old, I was playing fathers and uncles and things like that, and monsters and things like that. So I'm very blessed. I wouldn't have it any other way.
What made you look older when you were in high school?
I started to lose my hair when I was around 16, 17. That would get me into character work.
Upsetting to you?
My father cried. my father actually cried.
Did he really? When you started losing your hair, he started to cry?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Because he was bald. I don't know. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know. He just was an emotional man, a great man. But no, it wasn't upsetting to me. It's not upsetting to me. I don't even think of myself as a bald man now. I mean, when I see a film, I go, oh, no hair. But it doesn't bother me.
My guest is actor Jeffrey Tambor. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Jeffrey Tambor. He plays announcer and sidekick Hank Kingsley on The Larry Sanders Show, and he co-stars in the new HBO movie Weapons of Mass Distraction, a satire about media tycoons, which premieres Saturday. How did you realize you were seriously interested in acting?
I lived across the street from a theater in San Francisco. And one day I helped them, you know, strike the set. And one day, we talked about the scene. I was sort of the kid who hung around. I even remember the play that they were doing. It was Homer the Brave, and they were like these, they were the kids. They were like 18 years old, but I thought they were these giants. And they actually asked what I thought and things like that. So it was really from that moment on, I was really hooked.
And did you do school productions?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yes, I did. I did. My first play was Little Women.
Uh-huh. And who'd you play?
Joe. No, I played Laurie, the boyfriend next door. Mm-hmm. There's one male role in that, and I played him.
Did you sing and dance?
I sang at my bar mitzvah.
The baruchas.
The baruchas. The famous baruchas. Yes. No, I love to sing. I've been in musicals. I've done two or three musicals. I love to sing.
So, you know, you're saying at your bar mitzvah. I always think of the bar mitzvah for people who are interested in acting as being their
foray debut
into show business. Yeah.
Yes. Now appearing. It was. I was very nervous. I do remember that, and I remember the. It was very interesting. My whole association with that whole area has to do with milk.
With
and
milk?
Curdled milk. Yeah. My canter, you know what a canter is?
Yeah, explain it for the audience, though.
Well, canter is the singer. In Yiddish, we say chazan. And he teaches you your bar mitzvah because you have to do this section from the Torah. And for about a year, he coaches you, you know, every Wednesday, I remember. And this gentleman, his name was a lovely man named Cantor Bornstein, and he would eat lunch during my particular lesson, and he always ate cottage cheese sandwiches on toast.
Mm.
And I had trouble with the chuch sound in Hebrew. And I would say, Baruch. And he would say, no, Baruch. Mind you, he was eating a cottage cheese sandwich. And these curds of cottage cheese would come flying across the room and land on my face. I looked like one of those speckled ceilings in the valley when I got through with my lesson. And I just have always associated that. But I was doing my bar mitzvah, there it was. And Cantor Bornstein, God bless him, forgot to tell me that after I sang for a while, that the whole audience, congregation, would say, Amen. Well, he didn't tell me. And so I sang my whole thing, and I got to the end of the first paragraph, let's say, and this entire droning of Amen, I mean, like, huge, shocked me so much that I forgot my entire bar mitzvah. And began to sort of scat sing the thing, sort of Ella Fitzgerald's approach to one's bar mitzvah. And then I got back, but the look of panic in Cantor Bornstein's eye, I'll never forget. But he paid me back, because that right after they have a little coffee and cake and everything like that. And he said to me, and now the bar mitzvah boy will do the blessing over the cake. Well, I didn't know any blessing over the cake. And so he sort of paid me back for that.
So what did you do?
He sort of fed it to me line by line. It was very funny. But I don't know why we're even talking about this, but that was I'll never forget that. It's indelibly printed in my mind.
Now, you were a regular on Hill Street Blues back in the 1980s.
Yes, I just got through working with Betty Thomas, who was a regular also. I wasn't a regular. I was a recurring.
Right, okay.
But Betty Thomas just directed me in Dr. Dolittle, which is great. And we were about two stages over from where we worked in Hill Street Blues, which is 17 years ago.
Isn't that long?
It's 17 years. And that was great. That's quite a guy, Steve Bochco. He wrote, and he sort of prodded that character. Alan Wachtel sort of developed into this weird, wonderful, eccentric, fabulous character. I just enjoyed that so much.
This is a cross-dressing judge.
He was he was going through, as they say, gender reidentification. And I remember coming, and they said, you must come from a costume fitting. I said, what are you talking about? We've been in production for a couple of years by that time. And I said, I have my suits. And they said, no, you must come for a costume fitting. I got there, and David, the designer, said, you want to pick out a dress. And I hadn't even seen the script. I got the dress before I got the script.
So you didn't know?
No, but see, that's what I like so much. I mean, in other words, I like that. I go, what's this going to be? And it's fabulous and very, very exciting.
After Hill Street, you got your own series in which you played a blind teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Very short-lived, right, the series?
13 episodes, but it was a miracle. That there was a blind, there was a bald-headed, bearded fella doing a professor blind on television for 13 episodes, opposite Dallas. Hello. So, I mean, you mean that it was 13 was a huge event in itself, and very, very important for me in my career, because I got to work with great people. John Rich was the director, and a great cast, and Gene Reynolds was one of the executive producers, and Henry Winkler, and great work, great scripts. I like scripts. I like good scripts. I like quality stuff.
No, did it leave you heartbroken?
Like The Ropers.
Oh, that was the sequel to Three's Company that you co-starred
in. That's right. We won the Pulitzer on it.
Yeah. How'd you feel about being in that? Lots of bosom jokes, probably.
No, it was great. I had no idea. I came out here and I said, I'll do a series. I mean, how long can this go?
Is there a kind of role you'd really like to do that you haven't gotten a chance
King
to do?
King Lear. Yet? I would like to do King Lear. I love that play. I would like to someday do it. It seems to be something that I'm after. I think it's just a horrific, beautiful text, and I would like to do that someday.
Have you done much Shakespeare?
Mm-hmm. Done a lot of Shakespeare. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's coming up on the new season on the Larry Sanders Show?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I know that they very seldom clue us in. We know it from week to week, but I have no idea. I know that they're putting the writers together and they're putting the whole thing together, and I look forward to it with great expectation. I will be very happy to rejoin. I miss the cast very much. We have a great, great time. And I miss my friends, and Gary and Rip, mm-hmm. and Penny and Scott and Wally, and it's fabulous.
Well, Jeffrey Tambor, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, I want to thank you very much for hearing me.
Jeffrey Tambor co-stars in the new HBO movie Weapons of Mass Distraction. It premieres Saturday, and he plays announcer and sidekick Hank Kingsley on The Larry Sanders Show. HBO will present a Larry-thon featuring all the episodes of this past season the week of June 2nd. Here's a scene from the episode in which Hank briefly returned to his Jewish roots. Here he is with his rabbi, played by Amy Aquino.
Hank, you have been blessed with a gift. I mean, with so much talent.
Thank you.
It is wonderful you get to share it with so many people.
Oh, thank you. You know, you're talented, too. No, when I saw you in front of that congregation and the passion in your voice and the way you commanded everyone's attention, and I think rabbis are so wise and so good. And they let you guys marry,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Well, that's so healthy, because Catholic priests can't do that, which is why I believe so many of them have prostate problems. Hmm. I really want to join your temple, Rabbi Klein.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. Do you observe the Sabbath?
In what way?
Do you go to temple on Friday nights and refrain from all work?
Oh, no. I mean, because we have the show every night.
Oh.
And Friday night, well, that's a big night for us because we usually have a band.
Yeah. And keep kosher?
No.
You observe the high holidays?
Okay. Yom Kippur and the 4th of July. As a Jew, I'm not very good.
Well, as a Jew, you're almost a Methodist.